What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels.
Hey, y'all. I'm JJ.
Hey, guys. It's Kat.
And on this episode, the gang is back together, and we're very excited about the guest we have on. She emailed reaching out, letting us know that she was a fan of the podcast, and she had a spooky story to tell from her childhood. It's Roxy. Roxy, thank you so much for coming on the pod.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Noah, what podcast is this?
It's the Real Hauntings podcast with Kat, JJ, and Noah. Is that better? But yeah, Roxy, so how did you find out about Real Hauntings?
You know, it was the pandemic and I was looking for something new. And I initially started with like comedy podcasts, mm-hmm. like Marc Maron and all that. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, I love paranormal and I want to hear scary stories that are real. I found this one and I really loved it. I just liked how real everybody was in it.
The Real Hauntings. Yeah, we try to keep it real because we have no idea what we're doing. Well, we would love to know where you fall on the believometer, 0 meaning you don't believe in ghosts and 10 ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you kind of fall on that meter?
I want to be a 10, but I'm a 6, like a 6 or 7.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, we ran on a streak of 10s and now I feel like we're running on a streak of like 6 or 7. So it's always good to mix it up. Well, obviously, you have the story you emailed in about your childhood, but you also mentioned that you had a couple other stories too. Do you want to kind of go through those before we get into your big story?
Okay, so there's this one. I was like 10, and it was after I saw The Stir of Echoes. For some reason, that movie like just, it still freaks me out. Stir of Echoes, yeah. It has Kevin Bacon in it, and like ultimately they find a girl buried in a wall. And like later that day or that night, I saw like an apparition of something, a little girl with like a nightgown and like long brown hair. And like, I could not see her head, but I just saw like the hair going down and just like a purple nightgown with no feet.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
That's what I currently live in right now. So like, I have to keep my door closed to the hallway because it freaks me out still.
Oh yeah.
And when you see apparitions, do you typically just see them one time or do they come back to you? How does that work for you?
That one I only saw once. But in the same house in that room, I thought it was my mom coming up to me and I got up out of bed. I'm like, why aren't you answering me? Like, what's going on? And I walked right through it.
Oh. So they typically look like full formed people.
Yeah. Well, like it's always in the dark. So it's like a torso of someone and it looked like, cause she wears like baggy clothes. So it looked like a baggy t-shirt she had on. And I was like, oh, it's mom. And then I get up and I walk right through it.
Oh my goodness. Right.
That makes me believe it. Anytime I hear a story like that, because as humans, we like recognize patterns so easily and our bodies just react to things that we have experienced over and over. Just like something as simple as, you know, someone walking by you at the airport or walking by you, you know, your mom coming up to you like she normally would to do whatever. Yeah. I mean, the fact that your body just reacts before you even consciously knowing like what's there, who's there makes a lot of sense to me. But also terrifying.
Cause I was so little, I don't know if it was like a dream or not,
mm-hmm.
but I remember like screaming and my mom coming out of her room and saying, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing. Like I didn't tell her really. I told her about the girl that was outside of my room, but I literally thought that it was a dream, but I was standing in my room when she came in to see me.
You think it was the same thing both times?
I honestly feel like they were different because the one looked like a little girl from like, I don't know, like from the 50s or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's like how the nightgown looked.
Does your mom believe at all? Or is she a complete unbeliever?
She has to believe in some way that something's going on, but she will rationalize it like crazy because she doesn't want to acknowledge it.
Has there been any trauma in that home that you're aware of?
No, because like my grandparents own this house. And that's why my mom rented it when I was younger. And that's why I rent it now. But no, because like the person that built it in the 50s. Hmm. And as far as I know, no little girls died here.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
It's something about being a kid and seeing those ghosts. And I mean, I had that experience where I put my hand through a ghost and it is really unnerving to go from, oh, this is a real person that I know to what the fuck just happened. Like me, I'm sure you feel this way too. It really sticks with you like through the rest of your life.
Oh yeah. It's pretty vivid, but yeah. I still keep thinking maybe it was a dream. I think I just wanted to be because I still live here.
that's the sixth part of your Believe-O-Meter. It's like, I don't know if I'm quite ready for all of this to be real.
Yeah.
Like I want it to be, but then I don't want it to be. It's just, yeah.
For sure. No, I totally get that. I had a weird thing happen today where I was coming home from work and they were doing this bit on the radio, the Burt Show, for any of you that live in Atlanta. And I think that's simulcast too across the country. But basically it was like, what are things that your spouse or partner say that drives you crazy? And I literally in my head just went, that's when my wife calls me dude. I hate that. And like, as the word dude went into my head, the person on the radio, it was a lady, was like, it's when I call my husband dude. Like I said it in my head and then she said it right after that. And I was just like, it's so creepy. Why does that kind of stuff happen? You know, well, did you have any other experiences that you want to talk about before we get into your little friend as a kid?
Just one more. I think I was like 16 or 17 and I got a Ouija board because I was like, I've done this before because, you know, I did it when I was way younger, like with my friends at their parties. So I got one at Toys R Us. It was glow in the dark. So I was like, this is awesome. And my friend and I were across the street because my grandparents live across the street from me. We were over there playing on the Ouija board and we were like, and it was moving. I'm like, you're doing it. And she's like, no, you're doing it, you know? And then we were like, okay, can you prove that you're here? And a light burst behind the couch because there was like a standing lamp behind the couch and it just like went out second after we asked it. And like I verify, I'm like, did that really happen? She's like, yeah. She's like, I tell people about it all the time.
We did a Ouija board and it was in one of our places where we know the lights super well, and it happened right after we asked it a question. It would have to be confirmation. When have you ever seen these lamps flicker?
I saw JJ's eyes immediately roll into the back of his head when he said confirmation.
I've seen them flip.
No, you have not.
I have too. I've texted you before. And that is like all of the lights just went
out. That is a lie. That is not even funny.
That is a real thing.
Well, you guys have an actual ghost in your house. So, I mean, that's probably the ghost communicating with you. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
We think it left with our last roommate or something.
Yeah, she might have been attached to him. Before we get into your little friend, which I'm very curious about, I just want to know backstory. So this is your grandparents' house. You grew up in it. You're now renting it. So how many years have you lived in this house?
Well, okay. So we lived in it briefly with my mom. So like from probably 8 to 12, I lived here. And then they rented out to other people. My uncle lived here for a brief time. And then it was empty. And I was like, hey, I'll go there.
So has anyone else in your family like commented on strange, possibly paranormal things happening in it?
Well, my friend who lived here with my uncle, she's technically my aunt, or was my aunt, not anymore, but she was here and she would see weird stuff in the living room when she was by herself at night. She didn't specify on them because she didn't want to talk about them because she didn't want to like acknowledge it. But she was like, yeah, I see weird stuff. Change the subject.
Oh, yeah.
But like, and I don't have any weird vibes in here anymore.
Have you seen anything in the house since living there as an adult?
No, I've had feelings, like weird feelings, like I'm being watched in a way. Mm-hmm. And then I worry that I'm just like paranoid and crazy. But yeah, I just get like weird feelings like that, but nothing bad. And like, I kind of like say it in my head, like, I don't want to see anything. Like my mind cannot deal with seeing anything.
Yeah.
Like, don't show yourself, whatever you are. You can hang out, just don't, I don't want to see you. Yeah.
Do you consider yourself somebody that is often intuitive?
Kind of. I think of myself kind of as an empath, but mostly just because of what I do. I'm a social worker and it's just like empathy and all that is just kind of part of it.
Sure.
So, and I just feel like that's just, I don't know, just kind of goes with it.
What setting do you work in?
Child welfare.
Thank you for everything you do.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thanks. Well, let's jump right into the story that you emailed us about.
This was probably around when I was 3. I guess like one day I came downstairs and was like, or maybe I was talking to someone. Either way, I came and told my mom and she was like, who are you talking to? And I'm like, oh, it's this boy I met. He was in the corner of my bedroom at night, all broken and beaten up. And she's like, okay, you know, because she was 20 at the time. So she's just like, okay. And that's kind of how she left it. She's like, let's just move on. but like I kept talking about him and his name was Joshua. Like she would ask me about like, what does he look like? And I'm like, oh, he's like, he looks like he's older than me, but you know, younger than you. And then I said something about his daddy beat him up and that's why he's broken in the corner of the room.
Oh my gosh.
And just thinking about that now, I'm just like,
yeah.
I can't imagine being a 20-year-old and having to deal with that.
I can't deal with that now. I would not be able to deal with that now.
No, that's so scary.
And so sad. When you told us his name, when you said Joshua, we heard a big noise. Was that in your...
Yeah, it was my husband getting out of the shower.
Or was it Joshua?
Hey, no. Welcome back.
Also, that phrasing of broken is such a sad thing to hear a kid say about another kid, whether they be ghost, imaginary, or indifferent. I mean, that's a really powerful way to make that statement. That must have been horrifying for your mom.
Yeah. And like, still she kept going, oh, okay. Like she just wouldn't, you know, she wasn't gonna, but I guess like, cause I told my grandpa about it the other day and he was like, oh yeah, I remember that. Your mom was freaked out.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, I was like, you knew about this? She's like, he's like, yeah. I was like, no one told me about this until recently.
So is this, do you have your own memories of this or is this something that.
No, like- I remember like little bits about living in the certain places that we lived in, but like I was, like no real vivid memories of anything.
Right.
But how like
general
welcoming and like kind were you as a child to be like, I met a friend and he's broken and but he's super nice. And I don't know if you said he was nice.
But... I thought you were going to ask her how welcoming and kind were you as a child and just stop there. I was like, wow, that's really forward.
No, like,
well, I don't know.
Sounds like, or just in general, these stories about children. I mean, there's no blind spots. They're just like, yes, that's my friend, you know, dead ghost boy. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
That's my friend,
you know? Yeah, there's no prejudice for the child to. They're not worried about you believing in ghosts or religious overtones or any of that stuff.
It's all from the adults. Which, granted, you know, if your kid was telling you that, be a little spooky.
But. Yes, absolutely. Well, Roxy, have you, and of course there's more to the story, but have you spoken to a medium or anyone to try to find out who this Joshua was or what was going on?
No, I'd like to speak to a medium about that, but I'm like super stingy. Like, I don't like paying for things that I'm not sure are real.
That's fair.
I want to. I want to believe that though, because I do, because I have crystals and stuff like that. I'm somewhat witchy, I guess, in a way. But like, I don't know. I have a hard time paying for things that I can't rely on fully.
Yeah.
Let's jump back into the ghost story. That's what we're all here for. So you let your mom know, hey, I've got this ghost. The ghost is broken. It's a, you know, somebody who's older than me, but younger than you. Did it stop there? Did you ever see it again?
Yeah, this went on for like 2-3 years. So, you know, she just kind of played it off like no big deal, or tried to, you know, even after that. But then I think a few days after I first started talking about him, I would take all the crosses and pictures would be off the wall when she'd wake up in the morning.
Like, but like, not because someone was like, yeah, I took those off the wall, just like,
no,
and they were gone.
Yeah. They were like, they were on the floor. And she'd asked me about it because my stepfather was living with us at the time. And he was saying that I was doing it. But like, I was 3 and I don't know how high up they were on the walls or not, you know, and I don't know how I would have done it, but they were all off the walls. And my mom asked me about it. And I was like, yeah, Joshua said that it's bad to hang crosses on the wall.
Oh, that's creepy. I mean, I don't have a super strong affiliation with crosses or any religious symbols, but that would really creep me out if someone's like, yeah, my friend that I see at night in the corner of my room told me to take this down.
My first thought was, did Joshua, you know, not really have a relationship with crosses while he was alive, or did he learn in the spirit world that crosses were bad? I would love to know.
It'd be a good thing to ask a medium, have him chat with Josh.
Yeah.
Did your mom ever, since you talked to her, did she ever tell you if she considered bringing a priest in to do anything like holy water or anything? Because I have to imagine that even if you wanted to pretend like that didn't happen or you tried to rationalize out, that's a pretty strong gesture for a kid to make. And I know as a parent of a young child myself, that would really freak me out. And I might start looking for alternative methods to try to cure the situation. Do you know if she did anything?
I think she may have saved the house or something. I, like, we were, she was raised Catholic. So, but like, she wasn't really practicing at the time. So I don't know if maybe my grandparents suggested it or not, but I don't know of anyone coming in and doing that. But I know she was into sage and stuff like that.
And when you see a cross now, do you tend to turn it upside down or take it off the wall?
Always.
Always.
No.
Well, that's certainly spooky. That's,
you know, so I guess that continued to happen. She'd wake up and the crosses and pictures would be on the floor. And this went on for a really long time. And after a while, my stepdad was in the army. And he was deployed to the Gulf War. And my mom had moved at that point. And we were, now it could have been like the morning or afternoon, it doesn't matter. I was sitting at the kitchen table eating and I just kept giggling and looking under the table and talking to Josh. And Ron was like, what are you doing? And she asked Joshua what he was doing. And I was like, he's tickling my toes under the table. And she's like, okay, we'll knock it off because we got to go because we were going somewhere. And then it stopped and she's like, so what's he doing now? And I'm like, oh, he's getting a drink of water. And the sink, the faucet turns on full blast.
No way. That is crazy.
Okay, JJ, that would have to make you a believer if you saw that.
Yeah, that I don't know how to, that would be explained away.
And
that,
this,
that's.
And she ran out of the apartment. Leaving me at the table. Yeah.
Oh no.
She said it was only for a few seconds. And I think her girlfriend Renee was with her. And they were just like, they both ran out of the house and they either like, okay, no, she's in the house. So they went back in and I'm just sitting there eating, like not phased. I was like, whatever. The water's still running.
Because yeah, that's your friend Josh.
So there were two,
like, I don't care.
So there were two full grown adults that witnessed this.
That ran out of the apartment.
Oh my God. And
have you talked to your mom recently about this?
Yes.
And she still recounts it the same way?
Yes.
Oh. Now, this isn't the place where you live now that that happened, right?
No, no. Okay. Nothing like that ever happened. Or at least not with Josh.
Gosh almighty. And so when you talk to your mom about this, did she say that she felt safe with this stuff happening? I mean, what was her emotional palette during all of this?
To ignore it and pretend like it wasn't happening. Because like she had no other alternative. And like, she just was like, oh, well, it got explained away because the landlord came in and fixed it. And it was just missing whatever the rubber thing, whatever that is, that's on the faucet. She was like, it was just missing something.
Had it done that before?
No.
And this would have been in the 90s, you said, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was during, you know, there was a boom of movies like Craft and, you know, a lot of those kind of things were in vogue. I wonder if that also kind of freaked your mom out living in like the Blair Witch Project while all this stuff was going on.
I'm sure it helped. Like we watched scary movies together my whole life. So.
Okay. And then things got to the point where your mom had to tell him to stop, right?
Yeah. So she heard me yelling at him when she was downstairs. I went upstairs for some reason and I was yelling at him and saying, stop it. You have to stop doing that. And she came in and she's like, well, what's he doing? And I'm like, he's jumping on the bed and he's not supposed to do that. We're not allowed to do that. And the bed broke, like the wood underneath broke on the bed.
In that moment, like right then?
In that moment, in the doorway, when we were looking in the bedroom, like I wasn't on the bed. No one was on the bed. I mean, I'm sure I was jumping on the bed with him at one point, but like I was not anywhere near the bed at the time.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know how, I'm like speechless. I don't know how I would react. I would be so scared.
I had that same thing happen, but it was a little different. When I went back to my parents' house and I was like a sophomore in college, my girlfriend and I went back and I got so excited that I ran and jumped on the bed and then the wooden plank broke underneath. But that was kind of, I wish I could blame that on a ghost, but that was.
It's not exactly the same thing.
Definitely.
it's close.
Is it?
There's like a little middle part of a Venn diagram, but it's
where that overlaps. Not
exactly the same.
Look, I didn't have a lot of action in high school, so I was excited to christen the house and bring my girlfriend.
This is a ghost podcast. Not about of your past ghosts.
I ended up having to stack all my old yearbooks underneath the bed to try to take the place of the wooden plank. And I think they're still underneath that bed with a broken wooden plank.
Super cool. Okay, so you're at that point, the bed is broken. Not talking to Noah, talking to us.
Yes. And
this is when your mom, like, tells him to leave, or I haven't read the email, so I'm super intrigued.
Yeah, at that point, she was like, she'd had enough. Like, when that happened, she's like, he has to leave. Like, he has to go. And like, she spoke to the air and she's like, you have to leave now. I'm done. You have to go. Later that day, she was taking a bath and, you know, I just walked in because, you know, and I'm like, Mom, Joshua's really sad. He wants to stay with us. And she's like, well, he can only stay if he promises to behave and all of this stops. And it all stopped. Like, and nothing ever happened again.
Wow. Huh. Who knew? All you had to do was just ask him to stop. And then he was like, I'm sad. Peace out.
But I wonder if you kept seeing him. He just never did anything like while your mom was around.
I guess I never talked about him again. I don't remember, but she said she thinks that he's still with her. Like, she has that feeling like he's still with her.
Wow.
Mm. Oh, man.
What does your husband think about all this?
Oh, he doesn't. He's like, meh. I mean, he's had like sleep paralysis things happen to him. And that freaks him out. And like, he's experienced weird things, but like, he's kind of like my mom. He just won't acknowledge it as.
Does he see things in sleep paralysis?
He did once, like when we first started dating, he had told me when he was in his other apartment that like, he was like sitting like this and like change was falling off of his bedside table. Cause for some reason he had change on it. And then he saw like a shadow thing in the doorway. But like, ever since then, I haven't heard him talk about anything like that.
So is he super stoked for you to come on a ghost podcast and like thousands of people to hear your story?
Kind of.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, that's
yeah, cool. He really is. He's happy for me because I was really excited.
Well, we're excited that you shared that story. That's one of the more creepy kid stories we've heard. I mean, in a way, like at first it was kind of like, oh, that's sweet. But I think the fact that your mom witnessed so many things that were evidentiary, like physical evidence take place, that a ghost or something paranormal was happening, makes it really, really spooky. It's so much easier for me to write it off if you just tell the story and you guys never witnessed anything happen, but that's pretty horrifying.
So I think it's so interesting, Roxy, that you work in child welfare and you saw this ghost as like a beaten child.
Whoa.
But you don't have like a conscious memory of it, but did it, when you've heard this story that apparently happened to you, did it like cross your mind that like this experience had kind of subconsciously like imprinted itself on you, leading you into like that kind of direction for your career?
I mean, maybe, because when Kat was talking about it and saying, oh, well, you know, you just accepted him at that point, I was like, God, this is like full circle kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's really weird.
That's a really good point, JJ.
Yeah.
I'm being nice to you, but wow. No, seriously. Like, who knows if Joshua made such an impact on you, even subconsciously or before, or, you know, even if you've lost memory of him. And that's what you do now. That's amazing.
And on that same point, in your travels through your job, have you ever had another kid tell you that they're seeing ghosts or anything of that same nature?
God, no, thank God.
I'm just like, yeah, I'm gonna be thinking about that story for a while. That's pretty cool.
You know, my mom did tell me I had a ghost come to me when I was little that said, I just needed more data analysis on workforce management. And that's what I do now.
So with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ.
I'm Kat.
I'm Roxy.